Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show, where I talk to business owners and community leaders about their experiences and about what they're doing at the moment with their customers. You know, it could be hints and tips. It could be looking forward in terms of predictions. But mainly, we're talking to business owners and getting their insights so you can learn more from them. And today, we have got the fantastic Keith Blakemore Noble here in the studio. And I'm not going to introduce him. I'm going to let him do it because he's a legend. Keith, how are you doing, buddy? How are you getting on?
Oh, thank you for that introduction, Gary. I am doing fabulous as always. Thank you. Fabulous as always. And your good health?
I am doing good. I've missed doing these because I've had a couple of weeks off, but I am back on it and I'm looking forward to it. So for the people who don't know you, Keith, tell us who you are, what you do and how you help people.
Now, there's a question. So for the past 12 years, I've been helping people to master their mindset. Basically, my name is Keith Blakemore Noble. I'm the Mindset Master, and I help people to create their freedom. I do it using my own custom blend of hypnosis, NLP, and coaching, where together we not only resolve your issues, but we dig deep and we eliminate the underlying root cause so that it's gone for good from your life. And so that's basically what I do. I've been doing this for about 12 years. I stumbled into it because I needed to sort myself out. And that was 12 years ago and a career change. I've been doing this ever since.
Brilliant. And how many people, you know, if we look at or watch or read autobiographies or listen to audiobooks, fall into their kind of chosen profession because they had to sort themselves out first? You know, they went into it because it's something that they had to work on, and then they kind of developed a passion for it and then go from there. You know, you do hear it time and time again, which is fantastic. So, Keith, what are we going to be talking about today? What is the topic that we're going to do? Because it's one key word, but it means so much. So tell us about it.
Right. Well, have you ever, perhaps, I mean, the biggest, the most common example is at events, but this happens all over the place. Have you ever perhaps been to an event and you got really excited about what they have to offer and you get caught up in it all and you think, yes, this is what I need. And you rush and you go and buy the thing, buy whatever it is they're offering. Either at an event or you've been out in the shops, but you buy whatever they're offering. Yeah. And then you get home and maybe the next day or a few days later, you're kind of thinking, did I really need to buy that? Should I have bought that? We're not just talking buyer's remorse where you go, oh, that's a tasty looking thing, buy it, and go, oh, I probably shouldn't have. But we're talking a level beyond that. We're talking manipulation where you've been manipulated into buying this thing. And this is something that I've seen a lot of in the personal development industry and in many other industries beyond as well. And I've seen a lot of it over the years. I've seen people teaching many of these tools and techniques over the years. And I also know that a lot of the tools that we use to help people can also be used to help to persuade someone to buy something that they perhaps weren't really wanting to buy. And so I decided, you know what, enough's enough. It's time for someone to stand up and sort of say, whoa, this is what's going on. And that's what I'm doing. And that's what anti-manipulation is all about. It's starting off as a book, though it's going to be more beyond that. But it's sharing with people some of the tools, techniques and tricks which are used to manipulate us into buying where we otherwise would not necessarily have bought. Now, the important thing is it's not going to be one of those name and shame books. Here's what Fred does. Here's what Jill does. It's not me about that, because it's not about the person. It's about the techniques that are used, because Fred and Jill will come and go, but there will then be other generations of people who will use these things. So the idea, and it's not to tell everybody, don't buy things. I mean, sometimes you go to an event and what they sell is exactly what you need. Yeah, I've been there many times. I've gone to an event, gone, you know what? That is exactly what I need. I'm not being manipulated here because I know what the tool to do, but that is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
This is about helping you to be more informed. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. So when you can spot, I see how they're going to manipulate me here. Okay, I can do this with a clear head. I can know what's going on. I can separate out the emotion from reality. And I can decide, yes, this is something I want to buy, or no, I'm being pushed into buying it. Basically, who wants you to buy the thing? Are you buying it because you want to buy it? Or are you buying it because they want you to buy it? And that is what anti-manipulation is all about, just helping you to be better prepared so that you can make a much more informed decision, so that when you buy things, you're buying it because you wanted to buy it, not because they wanted you to buy it.
Brilliant. Now, I've heard of kind of people using these kind of techniques mainly in self, basically in courses, and that when people go to an in-person event and there's a rush to the back of the room to buy a product. And am I on the right line? Is that kind of what part of it entails? Because it feels like that feels like it's along it.
That is absolutely part of what this entails. And when you talk to people about how we get manipulated at events or in shops or online or whatever, the whole run to the back of the room is the common thing that people say. Oh, yeah, they do a run to the back of the room, everyone charges the back of the room and buys.
Mm.
That's kind of the tip of the iceberg. But there's actually a lot goes on underneath before you reach that point. Because if you just did an event, say you did a three-day event, and then at the end of it, you say, right, now everyone rush to the back of the room and buy. Chances are most people are just going to sit there.
Yeah.
Because it's lots of subtle stuff that they do beforehand that primes you so that when they say rush to the back of the room and buy, they go, boom, I'm there before they even said the sentence. So yeah. It's that whole rush to the back of the room thing is absolutely one of the biggest ones that are used.
That's and interesting. So there's different steps.
Yeah, there's all the steps together. Plus, what I have seen is I've seen some cases where they've said, hey, we're not one of those people where we're going to get you to rush to the back of the room. And yet they still use lots of manipulative techniques in order to manipulate people into buying anyway. Because what they've done is now more and more people know the whole rush to the back of the room is just a scam, basically. So sometimes you'll get some places they'll go, hey, we're not one of those who's going to make you rush to the back of the room. People then think, oh, okay, oh, that's cool, they're not going to scam me. Whew, yes, I'll sit down and I'll be happy. And then we get bombarded with all these other less obvious techniques which manipulate us into buying. Now, don't get me wrong, there are also people who say, we're not about getting you to rush to the back of the room, and they don't use any manipulative techniques because they are genuinely not attempting to sell you anything in that event. So just because somebody says, we're not going to be one of those getting you to rush to the back of the room, doesn't mean that they're attempting to scam you or manipulate you in some other way. They may well genuinely be one of those people going, you know what, you paid for this information, we're going to give you exactly what you paid for. We're not going to try and upsell you. So that's where it gets really tricky. So it's spotting all the other subtle things that are going on.
Mm. So without giving too much away, what kind of stuff should we be looking at, I suppose, on an in-person, but also not online? And obviously, we don't give away all your secrets.
Oh, sure,
but
yeah.
what should we be looking at if kind of the tip of the iceberg is what we kind of see and what I believe it was? What's some of the stuff we should be looking at?
So, excuse me. It will start right at the very beginning of the event, and it starts with really small things because, you know, if you want to create an avalanche, you start with a small, a few snowflakes moving, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. So it'll be small, subtle things to start with. Builds up. Usually, what they're doing is they're going to play really heavily on emotion. And they're going to try and get you really emotionally engaged and try and get rid of your logical side of your thinking. because as a good mentor of mine, Clinton Swain, says, when emotion is high, intelligence is low. And when you get their people way up high in emotion, so they're thinking from a really emotional position, the intelligence, logical, does this make sense for us to buy side of it is overruled. So they're going to really whip up the emotion. One of the really most powerful emotions that they use is FOMO, fear of missing out. So you will often see a lot of fake scarcity. Now, I say fake scarcity because if you're selling an online course, it doesn't matter how many people buy it. It's not like you're going to run out of online course. So when they're saying, hey, we've only got 5 slots left, it's like, it's an online automated course. You don't have to do anything whether you've got 5 people or 500 people. But they do we only got 5 left. Oh, someone's just rushed to that. There may want only be 4 left. You got better run before they all sell out. So those, and again, those are the really obvious sides of it. But also they'll, during the event, they'll often be sort of training you, as it were, to make these snap decisions and to rush in and to buy these things. And they'll also seed in lots of examples of people who didn't rush and then missed out and how their life sucked because they missed out and all this sort of conditioning that goes on.
That's awful. That's awful because nobody wants to feel a certain way, especially if actually that's to an intended consequence of someone's actions. That's just crazy. It is. What types of industries do you see this in?
You do see a lot in some parts of the personal development industry and related industries. Part of the reason I've seen a lot of it in there is because that's the industry that I'm in, so obviously you're going to see it a lot in there.
Of course.
It didn't originate there, but it has been used a lot there. But it's also in a huge number of other industries, basically any time where they're attempting to sell rather than attempting to create conditions to enable you to buy. Someone we both know, Stephen Jones, talks a lot about this. When he talks about sales, he says, I don't sell, I create conditions for people to be able to buy, to choose to buy, which, when companies or individuals or whatever do that, what you're doing there is effectively saying, right, this is what I offer, this is how I can help. If that's something that meets what you need, let's talk and let's see if we can work together, which is a brilliant way of doing it. It's like your supermarkets. They're not out on the street dragging you in, saying, right, come in and buy my stuff. They're going, right, this is what we sell, this is the prices. If you want it, come in. If you don't, maybe see you next time. But it's an industry where they're kind of trying to push you into buying. Now, it's easy to pick on used car salesmen as an example of sleazy sales techniques. A lot of them did come from used car salesmen and the like, because they were so heavily driven by commission. So obviously, it's in their interest to get you to buy a car, any car, so they'll do anything they can. If you walk on the lot, you're fair game to buy, to be manipulated into buying a car from them. And I know there are some really underhand techniques some and I emphasize some use a lot. It has cleared up a lot now. It is a lot better. There's no two ways about it, but you still get some of the dodgy ones. And also remember timeshares. And there's a whole timeshare holiday sales thing. The high pressure that they did with those. Again, that's a lot of the same techniques that they use there. They kind of bribe you, hook you in on false pretenses, lock the doors, so you're there for like 12-hour presentation in high temperatures, deliberately higher than it would normally be, less access to water than you'd normally have, stressing you out, making you feel that, if I don't sign this now, I'm never going to get these holidays. It's a lot of industries use it. And some of the techniques are used in far wider industries and even adverts on internet, on TV, et cetera. Even at a lower level, even things like, the DFS sale, has DFS ever not had a sale? But yeah. It's always DFS sale must end soon. So, oh God, better go and rush out and buy. Well, hang on, you've had this sale for 10 years. What's going on?
Yeah.
But it still catches us out, even though we know it's a fake sale. It still works and it still catches us out.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a tricky one because it's everywhere by the sounds of it.
Yeah. And so my aim with this is to highlight not only the obvious ones, you know, like the whole rush to the back of the room and the whole never-ending sale and so on, but also some of the techniques and tools that they use, which are a bit more subtle, to loosen you up, to warm you up, and to get you so that you are a lot more responsive, so that when this whole rush to the back of the room, because we've only got three left, oh, two left now, somebody's just gone to the back, so that those work on you because you've been kind of conditioned. So it would look a lot of how those work as well, because when you're aware of what's going on, you can be better prepared and better defended against it, so that it has less effect, so that when the whole come to the back of the room thing sales pitch comes up, and there's nothing wrong with selling at events. It's a perfectly valid model. Mm. There are some where you pay and you go to the event. There are some where the event is free. It's almost like a taster. Yeah. So you can get to sample, and then they offer you the product at the end. Absolutely nothing wrong with that model. Mm. But it's just where in the cases where they go overboard and try and manipulate you into buying. They want to sell as many as they can, and it doesn't matter whether you really want it or not. As long as they sell it, that's what counts. So when you're better able to recognize what's going on, to see where you're being manipulated, you can then be on your guard against it. So you can then be sure that when you make the decision to buy, you're buying because you want to buy.
And is that the kind of the trick to it? And is that the secret? Because if it is, you know, most people won't know when this is happening until it's too late. So how can we prepare ourselves to be aware of it?
Exactly. Often we don't realize until it's too late. And by too late, that means we've bought the thing and we've gone home and it's a couple of days later, or maybe a month later, and we're looking at the credit card statement going, oh, did I really buy that? Oh, well, it's too late now. It's far too late. So it's all about sharing what these tricks are, what these tools are, what these techniques are, what to look out for, the kind of flags to look out for, so you can go, oh, okay, I see what they're doing there, right, so that my logical side can stay in control, so the emotion doesn't get a chance to go, because your logical side's going, oh, hang on, I see what they're doing there. They're trying to get us more emotionally engaged with this. They're trying to manipulate me in this way or that way. They're trying to appeal to these feelings. Right, I can keep that under control, so that we remain in control of ourselves, which is the purpose of the book, and then the things which will follow on from that over time afterwards. But the book is basically takes you through, shares with you the different tools, different techniques and so on that they used, and then at the end kind of creates a fictitious event and sort of shows how all these things will be layered together in the event, so that you can see exactly how it all pieces together.
Nice.
I was going to say an important thing that the book will also be pointing out: many of these tools and techniques, they also have positive, beneficial ways in which they can be used. I mean, NLP, for some people, NLP gets a really bad reputation because some salespeople do very badly misuse NLP to attempt to manipulate. But the point is, no tool is good or bad, but using it makes it so. Anything can be used for good or for bad. A hammer. You can use a hammer to build a house, or you can use a hammer to smash the house down again. It's the same tool. It's how you're using it. So the important thing is that with all the tools and techniques that they use, that's just how that's used in that application. It doesn't mean that these are necessarily bad tools. They're not, because they can also be used in incredibly positive ways as well. So it's not, NLP is bad, selling is bad, events are bad. It's not that at all. Here's some of the ways in which these tools are used for ill as opposed to being used for good, just like a hammer or a drill or a knife or anything.
What I like about it is that, like you said, anything can be used in terms of good and bad. It's all down to the user and what they want to do, what how they want to use it. And do you know what? With us having a greater awareness of what's happening, you're giving us tools to be able to do that. And that's what I find fantastic, because if we haven't got the tools, then we're going to be defenseless against it. If we've got the knowledge, we've got the awareness of it, brilliant. At least we stand a fighting chance of stopping ourselves, getting to that emotional state, which is going to make us more inclined to be put into a position where we might not want to, where we buy what we don't want to buy or might not want to buy. Oh, we need that awareness. We need that training. So, Keith, when is the book going to be out? You've alluded it to a couple of times. So when is it going to be out, and how can we get more information about this?
Brilliant. So the aim is, excuse me, the aim is to have the book out toward the end of this year. That's my current aim. I'm starting to speak a bit more about it publicly now, because it's now in a position to be able to speak about it more publicly. There will be, and this is going to come out in August. April, August, same thing. In August, there will be a crowdfunder campaign to back the book. Now, the reason for that, I'll be completely open and honest about this. Part of it is to help fund the publication of the book, because we're doing this properly. This isn't just going to be a type it up in Word, turn it into a PDF and then print out the PDF. It's going to be a properly created, laid out book with a well-designed cover, well-designed insights. It's easy to read, easy to follow. So it's partly to fund that with proper proofreading as well, because I'll be honest, I am rubbish at, I can't proofread my own stuff. Because if I read it, I know what was supposed to be written rather than what's actually there. I'd never spot these mistakes. So there's that. But also, the reason for the crowdfunder is that helps to build awareness of the book. Those who invest in the crowdfunder are much more likely to then share about the book and help spread word. And even those who don't, they may still see it and go, okay, well, I'm not buying, but that is a useful book, and share more information about it. So that will be coming out at the beginning of August. There'll be a lot more information coming out before then, particularly throughout July. So watch for things ramping up throughout July. Check my website, keithblakemorenoble.com, or check me on any of the socials. You'll find me, Keith Blakemorenoble, on any of the social media platforms. You'll start to see more and more stuff coming out about that. Or get in touch. Get in touch with me, particularly if you've got an example of where you feel, oh, this could have been some manipulative stuff. Because I've got loads of examples. I also know there are plenty of other examples out there which I won't have seen. Yeah. So if you've got some things which you think are some juicy examples, do get them to me. Email me, DM me on socials, whatever. Get it to me. And if it's a suitable one, it'll get included in the book, and you will get, obviously, an acknowledgement and a thank you and a mention in the book for contributing to helping us all to avoid being manipulated.
Love it. Love it. I think anything that's going to give us a greater understanding of a topic is, and also is going to actually help protect people. That's what we're doing, is, you know, the greatest knowledge you're protecting people. Is a great thing. And for the people who are watching this at the moment, just to let you know, we're streaming this into our private group on the 22nd of June. Most people will be watching and listening to this at the end of July, so you might not have to wait that long before the crowdfunding kicks off. So please check out Keith's all the links that he's just said. I will put them all into the description as well, so it'd make it dead simple. And if when the crowdfunding launches, I'll whack that into the description as well. So if you're watching it on YouTube or if you listen to it on the podcasting platform, check those out and then connect with Keith. We've been talking for 25 minutes, dude, which is absolutely fantastic. It's gone dead quick, and I'm sure as you've said in the past, we've only touched the tip of the iceberg on this. We haven't covered hardly, a lot, but what we have covered is really interesting. So I'm going to call it a day there, so I'm going to send you back off, and then we'll catch up in a second. But Keith, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I've learned a hell of a lot. I can't wait for the book to come out.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much.
So for all of those people who are watching and listening, both in the private group, the Grow community, and also on the podcasting platforms and YouTube and all that jazz, thank you so much for watching today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to Keith, and please, please, please check this guy out. Get involved with the crowdfunding and also connect with him on socials. You know, send him a DM if you've got any examples, send him an email. And please, please, let's protect each other. Let's share it with people who might not know about this, but they're at risk of falling into this. Please, let's make the most of it. Keith, thank you so much again for your time. Thank you everyone for watching and listening. Please remember, if you've liked this, please subscribe and like it on your channel that you're listening it to. Take care, folks. Gary out. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.